section. In your last exercise, were you able to isolate or identify a situation which, when you felt that was dharmic? Did you feel that there's some great... I would like to ask you a question now. Do you want to live like this always, or do you want to live someone else's life? This is a very important question. I know it's a rhetoric question. That means it contains the answer in the question. But my dear devotees, I really want to shake you up now a little bit. Why not always live like this? Of course, I understand there are ups and downs in life which have to be there as long as we are in the material world, which is a place of duality where every day and night and happiness and distress come. But I mean, just in general, I think many of you don't give yourself the permission to live like this because you feel, oh, I should live some, you know, the way the society around me expects me to live. And the second thing is, even if you want to live in your dharma, you might not know how to reach your dharma from where you are now, and you know where the dharma waits for you, your own dharma. And this, starting from in this session, I would like to give you some tools how to find your dharma. We will do a dharma quest session now. Now the first model which I want to introduce to you is the dharma house, which we have prepared for you. The dharma house is a model that helps you to discover your unique purpose in life. It is an essential puzzle, an essential tool which helps you in your dharma quest. We say in English quest, if we search for something, dharma quest is a good word. Fine. Just like a good house, a good English house, rests on fundaments which are invisible, therefore we have not shown it here in Shubal Shah's excellent Michelangelo-like drawing. How our Dharma house needs a fundament. And just like any house who has walls which build like the main corpus or body of the house, our Dharma house also requires something which is visible, something like the tree of life, how we stand in this world, visible to one and all. Just like any good house needs a roof, our Dharma house also requires a roof. Now the foundations of our Dharma house are four pillars. The four pillars of Dharma which we will discuss in the Dharma Codex. Maybe you can write down foundation, the four pillars of Dharma or the Dharma Codex. Is codex an English word? In German, it's a perfect English word. Yes, we adopt it's now international, so international word codex, we also say. The Dharma Codex means to act according to the universal principles of Dharma. It's the fundament. And this is very important. please write on Shubhasham, acting according to the universal principles of Dharma. The walls of the Dharma house, I will not explain these walls now, I will explain them later, are called Svadharma. You can please write an arrow to the walls and that says Svadharma. Or just next to the walls, you can write Svadharma. Yes, like this. It's so good to work together with you. Svadharma. And the roof of our Dharma house is Sanatana Dharma. So I would just like to briefly give the explanation for each one, but dwell really on the Dharma Codex. Well, the Dharma Codex means to act according to the universal principle of Dharma. I found this word Dharma code, Prabhupada says, in the Bhagavatam, and tomorrow morning we will read the Bhagavatam verse and Prabhupada's purport. And I just made it a little bit more modern by writing an X after Dharma Codex. That's not where I got it from. Then the Dharma walls really is Svadharma. That's our unique place in life and the corresponding activities. You don't need to write this down, Shubhasham, because we will deal with this later. Later we will write this down. And the roof, which is over everything and which connects us with above, with the cosmos and beyond, is living in our eternal relationship with the Lord. So now, I really want to start with the Dharma Codex. I will ignore all the others for now because we have to go one by one. We will talk now laying about the foundation of the Dharma. There is a great difference between what we teach in the Dharma model and modern self-help programs and so on. The difference between the modern self-help programs and the Dharma approach, I will talk about this now. There are virtually millions of programs in the internet. Millions is maybe an exaggeration, but many, many. Where it says find your purpose, your unique place, etc. Usually these programs or methods work by taking the person through some questions and helping him explore some subjects like what is your talent? For what do you feel a passion? What does your conscience tell you should do? Find out where you are needed. I've done really a lot of research, and this is the four most responsible questions. While these methods help you to be a little bit more aware about how you tick, so to say, they don't suffice to find out your unique Dharma. You know, when someone who has little or no idea about what he is supposed to do, why he has taken birth, tries to now think of what he is capable of doing, he will come out with very poor and speculative results which don't have that force, you know, to really change his life and transform him in such a way that he comes from a life ordinary to a life less ordinary. Do you recognize this phrase? It's not by speculation or thinking. You don't think yourself into a new way of life. In any such methods where you psychoanalogically go into this, there would simply be a slight extension. You would arrive at a slight extension to your present limitations. That's all. You won't have a force, really. Dharma is a force, you know. It's something beyond you. It's a universal force which the Lord has placed here, like electricity is a force.
And so on.
Just like seeds don't know really what they will look like exactly as banyan trees, someone who is now not knowing about his Dharma can speculate the hell to heaven, you know, like the Think Positive programs do. This was a slight whip to my colleagues.
There is another path available. Act yourself into your Dharma, or act dharmically so that you discover the force of Dharma. Goethe used to say, knowledge about what is within ourselves is best learned not by contemplation but by action. Strive to do your duty, Dharma, and you will soon discover of what stuff you are really made. So the Dharma Codex offers us a wonderful process to find out our true potential, to discover it. And it is not, I want to again say this, by sitting in a room, even not this room, that you will discover your true purpose. No, it's by living dharmically that you can grow. My dear devotees, out there is a real life with all its challenges and with its opportunities. If you align yourself with powerful principles, all of a sudden you will seize those opportunities and you will be amazed what will happen. You will feel a strength that allows you to cross over the mountains of your own conditioning, not by thinking, but by connecting with dharmic principles. And it is there, beyond your limitations, where the world of unlimited possibilities lie. I find this very encouraging. Connect now with Dharma principles, dharmic principles, and we will do this soon. And you will, Dharma will show you the way. I find this so, you know, I have tried so much to figure it out. Remember, as I told you, why am I not feeling well? I'm so rich. As a little boy, I was already so rich. I have everything. I'm going to the prestigious schools, and I'm the school that the people say I can make it. I'm intelligent beyond average, but why do I feel like a tiger behind bars and just want to break out from this life? What is wrong? And I couldn't imagine what I should do. I thought maybe I should go and drive to England to the Rolling Stones and ask them if I can be a member of their little orchestra. I thought maybe I'd drop all this and become a rock and roll star. Then I felt, no, this is too superficial and so. I had no clue. Then my initiation came. And I had to give 4 promises. I didn't know why they were so important. I lived like this anyways now. Only later, when I studied with Prabhupada said the Dharma Code, then I found out why this is so important. And I now strongly believe if someone doesn't know
what is behind these four rules and regulations, he will not live them properly. He will not be very convinced, and he will not see the whole. Well, now you have to help me with the English word. Is it called the bandwidths of what they are? Bandwidth? And you just see a little thing about them, and it will not be very encouraging for you. There are four pillars, just like in Shubha Shams' beautiful house. Maybe you can try to add a fundament to it. If you have studied medicine, you will know some maybe transparent fundament. I don't know how to
try.
Maybe what?
Foundation.
Foundation, yeah. Like maybe some pillars, or I don't know. Yeah, something. Yes, you're good. Oh, you are intelligent. Yeah. We will deal now with this fundament. These four pillars are, write it down, young boys and girls, truthfulness, discipline, purity, and compassion. These are the four pillars. In our tradition, in order to maintain truthfulness, the student is asked to refrain from gambling and lying. In order to maintain one's discipline or austerity or tapa, the student is asked to refrain from what?
Intoxication,
thank you. With intoxication, you are no longer able to do anything disciplined. I know, because I preached a lot amongst the hippies, and the most important activity of the hippies is to lie down somewhere on the hip. That's why they're called hippies. Yes, it comes from the hip. They lie down very nicely. There are, you know, these mattresses on the floor. That is the Wohnkultur, the living culture of the hippie. He lies on his hip, and then he speculates how he will overtake the world. It is a very, very pronounced. Maybe you also have this in your life. You may not, you know, thinking, Tamago, never doing anything, because it's destroyed by any type of intoxication, even the whiskey in your father's whiskey shack. We know you come from good families. In order to maintain inner and outer purity, the student is requested to refrain from what? Illicit sexual connections. Right. It is outer purity, but mostly inner purity. You begin to think about this morning to time. You have never done this, so you don't know. But I have heard it just morodes the character. Therefore, future emperors of the Persian Empire, they always were put to boarding schools for only men. That was a principle, to keep them away from because their inner purity would suffer from all the thinking, how do I look? Is my odor, which comes from the armpit, appropriate or not? And so on. It is. Anyways, I don't want to give these bad examples. And in order to remain compassionate to others, the student is requested to do what? Yes, he is requested to refrain from harming others, which is finding its epitome in your participating in the slaughterhouse industry. So you can see the four principles of Dharma which you need to adopt in seriousness in order to find your whole Dharma to make your whole Dharma house so that you can live in your Dharma in your unique place, is first of all, my dear devotees, the foundations of the of spiritual life, the Dharmic principles. And they are, again, let us go through them. First, thank you. Second, thank you. Third, yes, inner and outer purity, it's good to say, to have this. Say it. Inner and outer purity. And the fourth is compassion. Have you all understood how this relates to our four regulative principles? It is easy to see, no? This is in the Bhagavatam in one purport. It is, and it struck me when I saw, my God, is this profound? My God, is this profound? I thought. But the real effect starts only when you act according to these Dharmic principles. Again, the four rules and regulations you will do automatically, but if you just do the four rules and regulations and not understand the whole bandwidth of it, what it means really, you will only scratch the tip of an iceberg and not the whole thing, and you will not connect really to Dharmic principles, to the force of Dharma which push you forward. For instance, truthfulness. In this workshop I will teach truthfulness and not the others. Truthfulness is so important, my dear devotees, to tell the truth. I cannot talk enough about this, but I've made a mistake. I want to talk about purity. And I will talk especially about inner purity, because I think as Pandavasenas who live in London with all the advertisement, the movies, the universities where we go, where they do everything in the book and more. The inner purity, I want to talk a little bit about this. Gandhi said, I will not allow anyone to walk through my mind with their dirty shoes on. Do we have this in English households? In North Germany we are, when you have dirty shoes, you are supposed to leave them outside of your house. So what is about your mind? It's much more important than the outer space. Your inner space is so much important that there should be no dirt. The five yamas of Patanjali's classical yoga system are five commitments that affect the relationship to others, like for instance non-violence. But there are five niyamas that are personal obligations to oneself. And socha, or purity, is part of these niyamas. External cleanliness means cleaning the body regularly and ingesting pure food. Have you seen after a shower that you just act positively and better? And have you seen that you don't do it and you smell so on, that you are not so joyful, not so energetic, this is external purity. Internal cleanliness means purifying the mind of contaminations like jealousy. Does this happen in Pandavasena? I am so jealous of Dhruva. He's the next president. Oops. You need to cleanse the mind from pride. Here comes one for them. Vanity, hatred, attachments. Bhojaraj, that is a philosopher, says
that internal cleanliness is automatically accomplished if you are benevolent towards others, that have a, that means a friendly attitude to all. I would like to ask you, while you're here on the Pandavasena mentorship retreat, to adopt an attitude of Vaishnava Seva and friendliness towards Vaishnavas. Do the extra mile, talk to each other, support each other, and you will see how this will be cleansing you, and you will feel very good inside because you connect to a Dharmic principle. It means an extra mile, an extra step to be benevolent to others. That includes, that will clean up your internal system automatically by just this one activity. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says compassion is the main dharma of all Vaishnavas. We have talked about this earlier. I'm just reminding you to, so that you can see how the Vedic way is really interconnected. Everything appears again in different forms and modulations. So if you act like this, externally clean and internally with a sense of purity, you will see that something happens. Patanjali writes, when the mind is purified, one attains cheerfulness, one-pointedness, sense control, and fitness to perceive the self. That's just when the mind gets purified, when the heart gets clean, when you are free from this anger, lust, greed, and so on. You will be cheerful, you will be focused, and have sense control and fitness to perceive the self. And when you see that you are harassed by counteracting, no, no, by negative thoughts. Oh, he snores so loud. Does he have no decency? And he's my neighbor, you know. That is because he has eaten 20,000 gulabjamuns. Look at his oversized body, you know. When you are seeing negative thoughts like this, you must immediately do a technique that is put a counteracting positive thought. Now when he came to the Pandavasena retreat, he's spiritually interested, otherwise he wouldn't be here. He is, you know, and focus on that. That is Bhogaraj, that is the Patanjali's system of acting with inner purity. You must take this greed out of your life, this anger or desires, these negative emotions, because they can ruin your whole life. And Ravi will now show us a movie, believe it or not. And we will now test his ability to work with the technique. Most, yes, he's not ready, like I thought. So please take this. So as Ravi sets up, my dear devotees, my dear Pandavasena, if you do not act with purity in your mind, your whole life will be ruined. Because what you think of, that is what you become. Krishna talks about this in the Bhagavad Gita by saying, Sada tat bhava bhavita. That means your bhava, your thought, your inner mood will describe your bhava, bhava maturity, that is your existence in this world. Can you give me a sign when you are ready? I will talk until then. On the other side, when you have purity in your mind and you have that is out what shouldn't be there, at that time, everything is available. Prabhupada once said, everything is available for the enthusiastic person. But many of us allow ourselves
to go into a downward leading spiral of negative emotions. They start here, like someone who goes in these holiday park, there are these spirals where you, what is it called? You sit down, you go, what is it called?
Slide.
A slide, yes. You slide down when you look at your negative emotions. Now we will have a little movie in the sound. Thank you. So in this test, they revisited the children when they were 20 years old. And the one who had no discipline and was... I think it's a little cruel to do this with little children. Anyways, who had no... and was overcome by his lust for Marsh, or her lust for Marsh, had a very... let me say, was, I think it was some low income job, you know, and the other person who had been able to refrain from that lust was like a high paying executive manager. That was the test. Maybe James, you have heard about this test. You've heard, it's an emotional intelligence by Mr. Gold. That's on the book Emotional Intelligence. I read it there. Anyways, I feel bad to give such a materialistic example. I somehow, when the devotees do something like this, I feel like poor children and I lose the point. But I think the idea is clear. Whatever is in your inner state, you know, that will describe your reality like this. We are like children. Some of us are so dominated by the forces within that especially the bad ones, anger, lust, greed, that they dominate our whole life. They come from a subconscious area which we are not aware of and deal with us like the puppeteers do with puppets on a string. Yeah. Inner purity helps you to be at your good place in life, and you will be able to find very quickly dharmic principles, a dharma. But if you don't follow this purity thing, you will just be pulled in one direction and away from everything. I want to make this a little bit more clear by making with you all now an experiment. I will ask Ghanesyam Priyaprabhu to come forward. Is it all right with you? I will not. It's a very decent exercise. And I will do an exercise with Ghanesyam Priya, which I then request you all to do. It will show you a little bit how inner purity, that is freedom, don't worry, it sounds scary, you know, Maharaj will now check how pure I am inside. Soon I will be on ISKCON News. Don't worry, Ghanesyam Priya, we are related with deep mutual appreciation. It will be very nice. I will want to show you how your inner life, that is your inner purity, will describe the way you feel and the way you act and will control your whole life. Because we want to show how inner purity is how necessary it is to do. So, actually, you can all partner up now and look at Ghanesyam Priya and myself, what we do. That is actually the best. Yes, give me a microphone. Can you find... I'm getting a little... let us do it like this. Ghanesyam Priya.
To talk.
Are you in good medical condition at the moment?
bordering on a cold.
Good, so I will take this in consideration. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. Some joke must be there. I will just see your inner strengths. I will do a kinesiological test with you to see how your moods and what goes on affects your inner strengths. And I know after you've done this, you will be more careful of inner purity, purity of your mind of negative thoughts. So, doing this the first time, I have to. I mean, I did it a few times, but in this constellation. Can you all see us?
Yeah.
No? Then you might have to sit somewhere else. You're very joyful. How can we do it then? I think this is okay. So, Ganesha, I will put my arm on your shoulder and I will request you to put your this arm, the left arm, out like this. I will now request you to really do what I tell you. You can close your eyes and I will want to request you to give me a very strong, enthusiastic, a very miserable no. You know, no, I'm not trusting your exercise, Maharaj. This is a no. Okay, and I will press down your arm
and see the level of your resistance. No, you resist. can you see or do we have to? Now, this is better. Now give me an enthusiastic yes.
My God! You're Arnold Schwarzenegger!
Have you seen that he was strong?
Yeah.
We are not cheating. No, honestly. Let's do something else. Show Ganesha Priya a smiley. Put it there. It's amazing. You would. Can you see the smile? You have all seen the smile. Meditate now on the smile. And resist with all your force. A frosty now. You can just show everyone.
Frosty means someone who is frustrated. Can you imbibe this drawing, please? No, you should really be frustrated. Think of the London weather. Think of the injustice of the world, and how everything is so slow, and you don't have enough money. It's a little difficult because we are a little joyful by nature. Be serious, kind of jump here. The world is frustrating. No one understands you really. No problem.
Okay, try. Resist.
You should resist more. I should really like this. You
good.
You're not cheating.
No, not cheating. I didn't know we'd be doing this very much.
So much frustration, it's unbearable. And the Second World War was so unjust, and London was bombed by these foolish Germans.
It's really easy. He has no resilience. Is it resilience?
Resilience.
Yes. You will check with your partners also. You will. Now, imagine a situation in your life, Ghanshyam. Maybe you close your eyes. And this is the best one. Then you really have negative emotions towards. Is there something in your life like, I understand you go to the university completed or?
Yes.
Completed. Are you working it?
Yes.
Is it always good in your working?
Yes.
Is there something which is frustrating in your life? You don't need to tell this. Is there something?
I guess there's always something.
Yeah, but that's too many. Yeah, maybe think of the past. Right. Present life is totally alright. But the past. Yeah. Good. Can you think of something? And you get it? You tell us. You got it. Resistance test. And really give your best to resist me. Something really negative. Very fast, yes. Now, Ganesha Priya, the best part of the exercise. Then you're done. Imagine a situation, please, where you have a situation in your life where you really have positive emotions towards. Maybe something of the present. It seems when I saw you coming in, you had a very good effulgence, isn't it? How do you say this in good proper English when someone is in
strength?
Good
aura.
Aura, yeah, I'm good. You came in and you were smiling, and I was really thinking, wow, Ganeshyam Priya is a happy person. Wonderful. Good. So think of a very specific situation, please. Maybe at your working place, maybe with some very good friend, maybe on a you walk with him or talk, something very concrete which you know. So you don't give me resistance, please. It's really my dear devotees, my dear friends, dear skeptics, you will now try this also. It is not that I'm saying something to you. It is really some strength comes by having the mind free from these negative things. You know, it really is some strength. There is research work. This is just a small little exercise. How the best pharmacy which is there is your inner purity. It's a Dharmic principle. It's something everyone can feel. It's like grabbing with your hand to the electricity and you get it. So I request you now to make pass. Maybe you would be so kind to go to Naveen Krishna and let him experience this in his life. It's a serious exercise. I want you all to applaud to Ganeshyam Priya for. No fanciful thinking. It is really like this. So let us all experience this now. The idea is we want to connect with. We want to see how our mental attitudes, like inner purity, is both a state and it's also. Oops,
attitude. We want to see this now. Please make pass. Maybe you want to go with people you're friendly with, or you can do it with anyone. Find a pair, and then I will give you instructions.
Thank you very much. Ravi, could we please remove the flip chart now to the other place? With this little test, I just wanted to show to you, this test really shows one principle, how powerful mental attitudes are, and how they give us really strengths or disempower us. It's known, and I think it is not coming as a total surprise, but I know when you make such an experience, and it works like really when it. Obviously, as one who gives a lecture, I like that it works, you know, with the examples. But I was surprised when Ganeshyam Priya's reaction was so strong when he had these positive orientations in comparison to the how relatively weak he was when he had this negative. And orientations. Internal cleanliness means really purifying the mind of all contaminations like jealousy, pride, vanity, hatred, attachments, all this negativity. And again, I want to say to you, there are few things how you can keep internally clean. Psychologically, you can keep internally clean by just keeping an attitude of well-meaning, an attitude of benevolence, a friendly attitude towards all. Srila Vyasadeva has a verse on internal purity. He says, burning in the fire of this world, I have taken shelter now of yoga by committing myself to the welfare of all creatures. I want that they are well. After having renounced my perverse thoughts like anger and hatred, if I again resort to them, I'm behaving like a dog who licks his vomit. I agree, these are strong words Srila Vyasadeva uses. He uses them by saying, why can't I just keep pure? Why can I not have an attitude of welfare towards others? Why? I have already renounced these bad thoughts like hatred and vanity and so on. If I again now, after I've started my path in spiritual life, resort to these things, I'm like this four-legged animal who licks up his and so on. Vaishnavas practice inner purity in the following way. First and foremost practice for inner purity is chanting the holy names of the Lord. Prabhupada writes about this in the Bhagavatam. He says, this process of purifying the mind is recommended by Lord Chaitanya. He says the one should chant Hare Krishna. He says further, Param Vijayate, all glories to Sri Krishna Sankirtan. All glories are given to the chanting of the holy names of Krishna, because as soon as one begins this process of chanting, the mind becomes purified. Chaturdharpanamajanam, the mind is like a mirror, and it takes on all the impressions
which would go through during the day, and by chanting the holy names of Krishna, one is cleansed of the dirt that accumulates in the mind. I think you are well accustomed to already say you are used to this philosophy, you understand it, and I cannot stress enough the importance of chanting with a focused mind and an attitude full of affection to Krishna and an attitude of worshipping Krishna with the chanting of the holy name. This cleanses the mind from all the dirt accumulated there since many lifetimes. It's the prime process. See, there are some things which you can purify by taking a cloth and just putting
good water in it.
Here, and then rubbing it like this. Yes. Oops. It takes up the dirt. But then there is more subtle dirt which you can find, for instance, on electronic devices. I remember it was at the, you know, Sony Walkman. There is this little thing which picks up the vibrations which are on the linear on the tape. I can only say the German word, the Tonkopf. And you would have to put the Tonkopf, this little thing which picks up the vibrations, into a liquid of medical alcohol, and then you would vibrate the alcohol and it would get all the dirt out. But how do you cleanse the mind? What will you do? How will you? You can't go with a piece of cloth inside through the ear and start to rub it on the dirt. It's a subtle entity which will not respond to gross cleaning devices. You take care of the dirt also by vibration, by spiritual sound vibration of the mantra. There is another way to purify the mind, which we will hopefully learn this evening. We will make an exercise when we do Kirtan and Krishna Katha. You actually think about Krishna and you pray to Krishna to help you become free from the impurities. That's a Vaishnava way. The way we do that is, this is maybe a little advanced for some of us who are still new and on the spiritual path, but there is a process where you see anger and lust and so on as personifications of demons, you know. And what you do is you become aware of these things in your meditation, that I have this problem, I have that problem, and then you meditate about Krishna and let him in essence deal with it by killing the demon inside. It's meditating about some of Krishna's Braj pastimes where he killed the demons, and where you invite the Lord to take care of these heavy contaminations which are inside of you. It's really a very interesting process which I think many of you have heard about but not yet done. But if you do it, we have another, we have in the Dharma module, we do this also with the more advanced students who go into higher levels of spirituality. What it really means is, in essence, you bring that contamination to the attention of Krishna and ask him to deal with it. If dealing with the pastime or meditating over pastime is something which is not taught to you in the yatras where you are practicing, then no problem, you can do it in another, more simpler way, by going before the deities, by revealing to them honestly your weaknesses and your failings and asking the Lord to deal with it. This is a very simple way of doing it. It's as effective as meditating about the pastimes. Most probably more effective when you're not used to meditation, Krishna consciousness. But the idea really is to let Krishna deal with it. Yeah? This is the idea. If you do it this way or that way, it doesn't matter. My dear devotees, and my dear skeptics amongst you, keep your heart pure. It's the most important thing you have, the most important space you have, your own heart, the heart space. Siam Gopal put a nice, he said, we once talked about the sacred space, that's true. Keep it pure. Don't allow the people that have dirty boots just walk through it and leave you in a mess. That is not good. And there's so much negativity in this world, so much impurity, so much chance for contamination, that you need to be a little bit fixed up on this. I could talk now, I have exercises on discipline and on truthfulness and on compassion and so on, but I will refrain from taking you through this. I will just remind you to really make it a point to connect with these principles. And I want to give you an exercise for the time after this retreat, which I see many of you take notes, so take notes, please. On truthfulness, that's the first principle. Try to give up lying to others. You will see, first of all, how often you lie. How are you? Wonderful! No, isn't it? How are you doing? Ravi, whenever he starts a phone call, I have analyzed this. He asks, how are you? And always you hear back, fine. He's miserable like a dog. He says, fine. It's a small life. If you will just go through your life with a bloom of truthfulness, most probably you will find many things which you sweep up, you know, which you see. But if you are truthful, if you are authentic and integral, a lot can happen to you. I would like to, it gives you so much strength. I found something that I can't resist. I would like to tell you the one who was very truthful in the history of mankind, they say it was Abraham Lincoln. I don't know, but I heard he was very integral. Once he traveled with one, please help me now, Colonel, is it called Colonel? Military man. And they were in a coach, you know, and they had a nice conversation. At one point, the colonel took out a little bottle of whiskey. It was in a silvery thing. And he said, "Mr. Lincoln, won't you have a drink with me?" That's what men do in the Kami world. They drink just a little. Lincoln said, "Mr. Colonel, thank you. I never drink any whiskey." For many more miles they rode together. Then the gentleman from Kentucky, the colonel, reached into his pocket and brought out some cigars. And he said, "Now, Mr. Lincoln, if you won't take a drink with me, won't you take a smoke with me?" Mr. Lincoln replied, "No, Colonel, you are such a fine, agreeable man to travel with. Maybe I ought to take a smoke with you, but before I do so, let me tell you a little story, an experience which I had when I was still a small boy." the linga revealed. My mother called me to her bed one day when I was about 9 years old. She was sick, very sick. And she said to me, Abe, it's interesting, they call it Abraham, Abe, the doctor tells me I'm not going to get well. I want you to promise me before I go that you will never use whiskey or tobacco as long as you live. I promised my mother I never would. Up to this hour, Colonel, I have kept that promise. Now would you please allow me to break that promise to my dear mother and take a smoke with you? I go on, took his hand gently on Mr. Lincoln's shoulder and said with a voice trembling with emotion, "No, Mr. Lincoln, I wouldn't have you do it for the entire world. It was one of the best promises you ever made. I would give $1,000 today if I had made my mother a promise like that and kept it as you have done." This is a story which tells you that he was integer. That means he was truthful to himself. And by this, he was connected to the principle of truthfulness and was quite influential in world history. He really removed slavery from America, and although he had to stand up to all the southern states who wanted slavery, he was one of the most important presidents of America, and one of his principles was truthfulness. It's a Dharmic principle. Wherever you find it, this will give you strength, my dear devotees. This will give you will give you strength on your path to walk. Truthfulness, discipline to what you are truthful to, and inner and outer purity and compassion to others. You will contact these powerful Dharmic principles, and as a result, you will move forward and then find out your sadhana. That's what we deal with tomorrow. Your own place in life and the activities. But you must. And this is different in Krishna consciousness than in the modern self-help industry. You must first live a life on the fundament of your Dharma house, which is the Dharma Codex. That is really unique. You will find it. I mean, these principles are known. That is not the constellation, these four principles which I have enumerated to you, have given to you. So I really request you to make some experiments. Truthfulness. Don't speak a lie. Also not to yourself. Otherwise something breaks in you. Discipline. Get yourself out of bed and don't sleep longer than required to have your spiritual practices. Practice this discipline. You have to always think, I'm doing this for a higher purpose. Because if you break it, something in you breaks. You are the one who is suffering if you break your Dharmic principles. Inner and outer purity. No? Avoid negativity. This inner dirt, you could say, or inner contamination, the six enemies, by just being more aware when you chant and purify. When you are internally pure, you are strong because you are in contact with Dharmic principle. When you are not pure, you are weak. And compassion, this most important principle for you. Do something for the good of others. In every exchange, try to help a person. Try to do this. And you will see, by just making a conscious effort to do this, I know most of you will not do it because the Hare Krishnas are immune to spiritual practice. But trying to
provoke you a little bit. When you do this, you will really find life is changing. It's really powerful. It's like this is now cold, doesn't work, but see what happens when I put it in connection with electrical principles. You should all sound like the Dragini. The sound of Dharma should come out of you and you will become very happy. Yes, we will also think about what is our unique mission, what is our place, what is the one thing I can do and contribute. But that all comes later. As long as there are not these principles, and we will hear more about it a little bit at the end. I will make this a very big point at the end. Then you won't live in your Dharma. The house needs fundamentals. Otherwise, everything is too weak. It will collapse very quickly. Your mental imaginations and your glowing yes and your talent search and so on. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So, I somehow feel we covered something this morning, and why now
open another maybe a little I can open the door. Because I have so, I mean, what I give you is really an essence, but I really wish you to go with something you can do. But I see you are already looking into the distance. Concentrate. Can you still go on or?
Yeah.
Not more than half an hour. I promise. Not more than 20 minutes actually. Because Prasad was where's Yam Gopal? I can go on till 1 o'clock and then 1 to 1:30 question and answers, correct? Good. So we still have 20 minutes. I want to just prepare so that I can go tomorrow. Let me just see, is there a question regarding this at this stage? How do you like what you have heard? Are you convinced? Will you do something? Oh, that was too weak over here. Can you please take note of this? You can't think yourself into Dharma. You have to act yourself into Dharma. You will never know what it is, what true Dharma is, if you don't act, really. You will never know what it is. You won't get the feel of it. It will be just one of these many nice weekends where you forget everything. Afterwards. Oh, it was nice. Yes, we laughed about Ganesha. That's all that we remember. No, this is serious, my dear devotees. And you will need it in order to make Pandavasena all what it can become. You will need the strength of Dharma. Yes.
How do you stay truthful but at the same time be compassionate?
How do you stay truthful? No, how do you become truthful and at the same time be compassionate? So true eloquence is when you state the truth in a pleasing way. You have to learn that you can say the truth like using a club pen, and you can use it in a pleasing way. And there is this rule: satyam bruyat priyam bruyat. You must tell the truth in a pleasing way. So pleasing way is you can do it when the person
understands that what he is now hearing from you is for his or her best. You have to phrase it in such a way, and you, first of all, you have to have the intention to really benefit the person, and then say it in such a way that he can accept it. For instance, that is a rule in our Sharanagati team. I have six people. One is a psychologist with whom we work on these concepts, and then you know, because I'm very much, I grew up in our society, and I'm sometimes using words and concepts which are just only someone will know who's in ISKCON. And I'm very sincere. I hope to be sincere, and I present to my team, and then my team has to tell to me, this no one will understand except for some Bhakta through the Bhakta code, but you want to get. So the team has agreed, to, and then I feel bad. Oh, after working for 14 years, you say it stinks. It stinks what I made. And I say, can't you just tell a little bit? You know, they say, Maharaj, you want to reach an outside audience? And I go, yes. And Raji, you have to clean up your language now, that they understand you. And then I can accept. And they say, please clean up, as a little intense also. You tell the person, this is what you want, and this helps you to reach what you want. And then they will be interested to do this. I know these are the daily questions, how can I say things that are good. I will talk a little bit more, if I get the chance, about these dharma in relationship to others. That Matajis will like very much, how to really apply these principles in relationships, with your husband and your everyone, the children and so on. And you will see that's very important, acting ethically correct so that you influence your career in a very positive way. That is also part of it. Oh, there's so much, but now I will go a little bit in the. Now, it's really difficult. Can I ask, maybe, our Navi Krishna Prabhu, I have talked with Navi Krishna many times, that what would you do now? I have now, the next big subject is the Dharma quest, looking for your place and your activities. It's a real thing of burning interest. And I have one exercise where I will ask Bhuta Bhavana to present the disc model for personality assessment. It's one of the many personality assessments where we just find out, because we want to find out our place, we need to find out who we are, you know, what we are made of. I somehow sense that we shouldn't put too much in one session, isn't it? I somehow feel from my energy level, oh, I'm so happy I said what I could present, feel a little exhausted myself, so you will be much more exhausted than me, because I'm here firing away, you know, okay. Yeah, it's difficult, you don't know my
Right, you have there's about 40 minutes left till 1:30. And because we have two sessions, there might be quite a few questions.
I also think questions and answers are good, and we get into discussions. I somehow feel the same. See, the problem is if we run through the material too fast, then you will not, nothing will stick. Better to stick a few things, like post-it in your mind, and then go with three post-its instead of 10 post-its, and then you don't do anything. I will just introduce very... I'm sorry, I'm doing this the first time, and I now know I should ask for questions. Please, are there any questions? Mataji, first of all, I will ask you. Mataji, hello, Mataji.
Yes.
You were asking me a question. Have I answered the question, or do you want more?
Sometimes we have things to say, but the way we come about, or the way we might say to someone, it can hurt them. And just you want to be true to yourself, but then you also want to show compassion to a person. So I understand that you're saying to maybe make them understand how it comes across. But are there different ways?
Good. I should see. No, what I wanted to explain is whenever you want to teach someone something or tell them something, you must first, which is maybe a little bit difficult for them to swallow, you must first of all make them see that this is in the best of interest. And sometimes, you know, I have someone who's very close to me. I won't tell you who it is. And I want to tell this person something since 7 years, which is a blind spot in that person's life. And I know, without being invited by him to tell him this, he will not be able to hear the benefit from me. There is, you know, there are few devotees or in my acquaintanceship who are very intelligent and who are also very wealthy. And I need these people to bring out the way in a big way. It's a big need, you know. I need intelligence for certain things which I don't have, and I need money for physical buildings to build and so on. And so there are a few people who can give me what I need. But for that, I would have to tell them things like, we are speaking since many years about cooperating, but up to now we have not joined forces. And I want to talk to you today about why this is not possible for me to join forces with you. It has to do with a certain weakness which you have. So I would like to tell this to the person, but if I know that he won't be able to swallow it, there's no use in me to tell him this. It would just make the relationship more difficult. So in that case, I should refrain. I should think, what is the best for him to hear? What can he hear? Now, you have a Pandavasena Mataji case, that is, someone is on your nerves, and you feel the need, you have to tell them truthfully, you stink, right? Is it such a situation? It's such a situation, isn't it? No, I'm very blunt. It must be because I know my Pandavasenas. It must be something in that area. You are laughing. It means for me you are agreeing. Yes. The best way to protect yourself is to
learn to draw borders. You know what that means? You say, when you do this, I come to a limitation, to my limitations, and I come into a situation where I don't want to be. I do not appreciate you any longer. My temperature raises. I become irritated, and so on and so forth. So I kindly request you to take note of this. This is what I feel when you act like this. Maharaji, I would request you, I would suggest to you, because these are communication skills, and one is you have to put a border around you, is tell the person, please don't step over this border. It is necessary. Somehow you have to show it to a person. Sometimes it's enough to say to the person, when you do this, I become really sad. I cannot deal. I become helpless. Tell them what the person does to you and how it makes you feel, what it does in him. And most of the time, the person, if he is not a rascal, and most people are not rascals with whom you have with whom you're dealing with, say, oh no, oh maybe, oh I did not want this, I didn't want this Mataji to feel like this with my actions. Okay, she told me now, and now I will keep this. This is the first and most mildest form of setting a border. But sometimes we need to do this, setting borders. Those who have not learned this when they were children are often abused by others, where others go into their private space. And this can go to the worst cases of abuse, which we don't even want to think about. But to set borders is necessary. And the easiest way to set a border is to say, when you do this, it makes me feel like this, and my reaction is like this. This is a normal, this is a communication skill which you will be able to learn when you come to the sattva module, where you learn interpersonal skills with the spiritual. I highly recommend this for modern people. They're very, you know, how to act in relationship with others and attain emotional and relational well-being. Very important. Thank you for again getting back to me, and that's very good that I could get it. Setting borders is very important for many, many, many of us, because sometimes the world wants to roll over us, then we are not able to function nicely. Any other question, please? Yes, Abhishek, the Vedanta player.
Maharaj, you just said something in the earlier session, that you said a statement which I didn't understand. I just wanted you to clarify it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you were quoting from Manu Samhita. I think the quote was something like, one who protects his dharma is protected by dharma.
Yeah.
I didn't quite understand what that meant, and if you could give an example of what that means.
Very, very good. Very good question. That's for Manu Samhita, and we find the same statement in the Mahabharata coming from the mouth of Yudhishthira Maharaj, the emperor. The statement is, someone who protects dharma is protected by dharma, someone who hurts dharma is hurt by dharma. The example really is that the Pandavas were under the rule of dharma, and Dhammaraj, Yudhishthira. There was a very interesting incident at the beginning of the battle of Kurukshetra, which shows you how powerful Dharma is. Because the Pandavas and the Kauravas are technically both from the same clan. They're both Kurus. Just to distinguish Yudhishthira and his brothers from Duryodhana and his brother, he called the Pandavas, and the others the Kauravas. But they are one clan, one dynasty in which Krishna appeared. So at the outset of the battle of Kurukshetra, both Arjuna and Duryodhana went to Lord Krishna in Dwaraka to ask him for support in the upcoming military conflict between them. But at the time when they arrived, Krishna was resting. So Duryodhana very cleverly set himself at the head of Krishna, and Arjuna very humbly set himself down on Krishna's bed, where his feet were, where Krishna's feet were. And after, they didn't speak, respecting the rest, that the Lord was taking a rest. So when the Lord opened his eyes, he saw Arjuna first, and he said, "I know why you have both come to me. You want to ask me to support you in the military conflict. I shall support you. This is how I support. Either I will come, the one side of you can have my military force, the powerful Narayaniyas, very powerful soldiers, never beaten in battle. The other side can have me, but I will not take my Sudarshan weapon, nor any other weapon. I will only be there." So because when I opened my eyes, I first looked down to my feet and saw Arjuna. He can ask me what is his preferred choice. Then only after Arjuna has made his choice between my army and myself, Duryodhana can ask. Arjuna said, "My Lord, I want only you." I will not fight. It doesn't matter. I want only you. It's called Sanatana. He was giving up the convention of the world, surrendering to the Lord. Duryodhana said, this poor idiot, "I want your army, Krishna," and he went out of the room and back to Hastinapur, the most heavy man. "I have the Narayan ears on my the battle is won." It was a Sanatana Dharma decision of Arjuna. Pandavas had so much less military phalanx than Duryodhana. But at the outset of the battle, that means when it just started, Yudhishthira, imagine this scene, Abhishek. The battles the battle fronts were clear. Both armies were posing for battle. All of a sudden they see, the Kauravas see, that Yudhishthira gets down from his chariot and alone walks over the battlefield. Duryodhana said, "I'm so much disappointed. Now this weakling, what is the English word, this coward, comes to us to seek for peace. Most probably we have to grant it." He was itching to see blood, Duryodhana. Yudhishthira walks and walks and walks. Duryodhana thinks Yudhishthira comes to him, but Yudhishthira walks past Duryodhana. Duryodhana, he goes to Bhishma. His tears in his eyes, he touches the feet of the grandsire and says, please allow us that we fight with you. You are our grandfather. And please allow us that we defeat you. Well spoken, said Bhishma. If you would not have come, if you would not have paid deference to showing respect to others, that's a dharmic principle which we will learn in ethical dealings, you know, you would have lost. Now you will win. Yudhishthira was not finished. There was another elder, another guru, and that was, please help me, Dronacharya, the military martial art guru. Yudhishthira bowed down, touched the feet, and said, Guruji, may I fight with you? Please bless me. Oh, very good, said Dronacharya. Of course, yes, this is Kshatriya. This is dharmic principles could come to the owner. You will fight with us and you will defeat us, no problem. You know, these great souls are not attached to the body. No problem. There are many, many, many little incidents where Dharmaraj Yudhishthira followed the Dharma codex. And because of this, he had the power of the universe behind him. Hare Krishna. Even in this battle. So, Dharma protects those who protect their Dharma. But Dharma hurts you. The same sword which cuts, let us say, a tree or an obstacle will turn against you when you break it. Thank you, Abhishek. A very relevant question. Yes, Abhishek.
Can I just ask the second question leading on from that?
would you be agreeable that we go and give other shots? If you have time, we will go to you. Park the question, keep it. Yes, here is our, let me see, Vinay has a question. Please.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for your excellent first part of your seminar.
Oh, it can be better.
we just had a question. The four principles of discipline, compassion, inner purity, and
inner and outer also, don't
inner and outer purity, and there's another one which I forgot.
Compassion
and compassion.
Yeah.
These obviously they're universal principles, but because we're all different and we're of different varanas, so maybe kshatriyas, brahmanas, shudras, or vaishyas. These different varnas can use, I've heard that they can use these principles in different ways. For example, I've heard that a vaishya can cheat, or a kshatriya can eat meat in some situations.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So then, how do we understand what proportion to use these principles to, depending on our own nature?
Very, very good question, Vinay. Very good question. Awesome. Have you all understood Vinay's question?
Yeah.
Good. There is one Samhita, which is a big part of the Dharma module. It's the Parama Samhita. And there, it gives different appliances of these universal principles according to the different varnas. But it makes the point, for Vaishnavas, devotees of Krishna, this is the way to deal. And I'm teaching Vaishnavas here, who are predominantly Vaishnavas, and so when you are as a Vaishnava, let us say you are in a business, you want to build a temple for Krishna, You may say things like, my product is the best, the others are not so good, and you know, really not so good, you know, but little like this is all right. But truthfulness still remains important. Therefore, you know, when you want to stay in the world, you can meddle with these things a little, but if you want to get out, or when you want to develop love of Krishna, you must follow them as much as possible. There are obviously some dharmic situations where you have to use your brain to see what is appropriate. And the Mahabharata gives room for this, that even brahmanas must sometimes tell a lie. This is the example, but this is up to the intelligent discretion. You must have intelligent discretion. This is the difficult dharmic situation. There was a saint, his name starts with K, but I forgot the entire name, and he had made a vow to observe absolute truthfulness. So once he sat before his little cottage and he saw some gentlemen running by who were absolutely in terror, and they asked him, go to hiding place, please, go to hiding place. They're after us. And he said, just go there in the forest, there's a clearing, and at the edge of the clearing there are some good bushes, you can hide there. Next, he saw a gang of murderers. They had knives and they looked the way they, you know, thieves and robbers. He said, didn't you see some people running by here? Now he had made the vow of truthfulness. He said, yes, where are they hiding? In the clearing behind some bushes. Truthfulness. So was this good or was it not good? This is discussed in Mahabharata, and the answer is no, it was not good, because to protect the life of others is supremely, is most important. You know, this compassion and ahimsa, compassion rules really supreme. You must act for the benefit of others. And if you have this principle, if you act by this principle, you usually will know when to cheat and when not to cheat. I mean, what to do? Oh, now it's going to Dharma seminar. When you have this principle, you will know how to apply the other ones. This is for Vaishnavas the supreme one, and should be the measuring rod, how you deal intelligently according to the different difficult situations in life, and with this. Very happy with this. Now, on another note, Vinay. When I was working on the Dharma module, I obviously studied Prabhupada's books, the Vanas and so on, and Vanashram. I have been part of an initiative where we tried to divide our devotees in different varnas and make Varnashram Dham in Germany as the social structure. We had done our best with international intelligence. We had so many devotees who were thinking about this coming and visiting us to see how we would make it work. And here's something I will say now to my critics. It was very difficult to make it work. And I know in the lifetime of Prabhupada, he also did not make it work. He was because it's so difficult. I have discussed this with my Brahminical godbrothers, and they said, Maharaj, if me, I'm sincere, I can't say I'm a pure Brahmana, nor can I say I'm a pure Kshatriya, nor can I say I'm a pure Vaishya or Sudra. It is very difficult. We should keep this in mind a little bit, and we will deal with this a little bit, but it's very difficult to For instance, look at me. I'm born from not a general, but something underneath the general, a warrior body. I'm not a warrior any longer. I really think in Vrindavan, when a mosquito comes and attacks me, I know I can fight with it and defeat it very long. You know? But I just don't like to do it. I prefer that he bites me. Of course, I have a mosquito net. But I don't like this any longer. I don't like to harm living entities. It is like this. So am I now? Okay, then you are not a Kshatriya, Satchidananda Swami. Then you are a pure-hearted Brahmana. Oh, Vina, if you would know, I also sometimes like to eat too much. And I sometimes am not so attracted to cleanliness. I do not take 3 baths a day because I would die from the cold, you know. And so on. It's very difficult. Very difficult even for us. I like to do Brahminical activities, but am I therefore pure-hearted Brahman? I find other things. At this moment, I want to build a retreat center, and then I want to build the Vedic Way, and now we are buying a big castle in Germany, a real big one, and I'm thinking a little bit about Lakshmi. Am I now a Vaishya because of this? And, I have this tendency also. Yeah. So I think we should keep it in mind, because after all Krishna created this structure, but in Kali Yuga this really has gone out of sync, and think the scriptures say in Kali Yuga everyone is born a Shudra, they say like this. You might have heard this. So better you go by truthfulness, and then you apply some intelligence according to the appropriate situation. Remember that Brahmana who was stubbornly clinging to truthfulness but didn't know of the higher principle, that is non-violence or not harming others, and therefore you needed to do this. In the Mahabharata there is a Sanskrit word even, but it's Dharma. Can you help me with the English word? Dharma pat, is it a pat? When you cannot move in this direction and that direction? When you are in a chess playing, you are.
Checkmate.
Yes, stalemate, yes. Difficult situation. What to do now? It's really difficult. And then, because it's not always. There is a difficulty in being Dharma. Dharmic. So, these situations are always solved by referring to the higher principles and the higher principles of Dharma. This is how to solve these situations.
I think that the I've also heard that the Varnashram model doesn't apply to the pure devotees. So that's why it doesn't apply to you. So.
Well, very high opinion for me. Anyways, let's not argue about this. Janakinad. We saw each other in Radhadesh.
Thank you for your session, Maharaj, and we look forward to the next one. Maharaj, my question goes back to Abhishek's question about, you mentioned how if you protect Dharma, Dharma protects you, and if you destroy Dharma, then Dharma destroys you also. So, again, going back to Mahabharata, on the battlefield, we know Kauravas didn't protect Dharma, and therefore, you know.
I couldn't acoustically. Kauravas
didn't protect Dharma?
Did not.
Yes. Right? And therefore, that was the cause of the destruction. But Maharaj, in the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada writes that on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, everyone got liberated, that they got the Swarupa of Krishna, including the Kauravas. So I'm thinking those who don't protect Dharma, but out of Krishna's causes mercy, even Dharma even protects those who destroy it. How do you understand that?
Well, the way to understand this, could you all understand Janakinath's question? Yeah, good. The way to understand it is Krishna's presence is so auspicious. I heard this about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's presence also. Everyone who was in his kirtans, the Lord leading the kirtans, was obtaining prema bhakti, the highest state of love of Godhead, means going back to Godhead. There was no consideration of offense even during Lord Chaitanya's time. I mean, except for Vaishnava Parat, he did not. He really did not. But even Jagai and Madai got the full mercy. Because this is the presence of the Lord. You know Janakinath? Rupa Goswami describes about Krishna that he can purify everything. And he gives the example of the sun. The sun can purify everything, even a dirty place where people have urinated. If the sun shines on that, it is purified after some time. Purity doesn't, the Lord's pure, Lord doesn't mean just that he is pure himself, but he purifies everything. So there was an extraordinary circumstance. God was on the battlefield, and anyone who was in the presence of God dying got liberated, even the rascals. Because his presence overrules everything. It's a special thing. But that presence of Krishna is very rare. It comes after so many yugas, you know, one time, and so on. So we who are not in that battlefield need to keep, we cannot follow the path of Duryodhana. Otherwise we will be destroyed. It was an extraordinary circumstance with Krishna's presence. Also Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's times, I mean, he sent the whole universe back home, back to God by his presence. And people were not more, that doesn't mean people were qualified, but he was qualified to overrule everything. It's allowed.
Thank you.
I will look a little also towards the Majesties that I'm. Yes, Majesty, please.
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. Earlier you were speaking about not letting other people walk in your consciousness with their dirty shoes. And I was just thinking that sometimes we have our friends, or you might have a mentee who goes to the mentor with bad situations that can affect your consciousness. How do you protect yourself?
You have a mentee who has...
Not me, personally.
Yeah, but I'm sorry, I'm a native English speaker, so you have to speak like to a stranger, a foreigner, yes.
Sometimes we might have people who come to us with their problems.
Yeah.
So how do you protect yourself and also keep yourself open and compassionate towards them?
What a wonderful question you have asked. Very important question for our mentorship also. You see, in the professional field of helping others, there's something like compassion fatigue. It happens when you deal with too many people who, and you do need a pause. You can see when you enter into the compassion fatigue, you can study a few symptoms in you. You really do want to be alone now. You really do not want to meet anyone. You really don't want to sit with anyone. You feel that. It's a response from the guts, so to say. Another symptom of compassion fatigue is that you are easily irritable. Another compassion fatigue is very common. You just can't imagine to go to that situation and helping people in the same way you help people. You don't see any meaning in that any longer. You don't see it will be successful any longer. It's all signs of compassion fatigue. And those who work as mentors, as preachers, they must keep in good spiritual health. And they must have spiritual strength. So sometimes this may mean to go on a retreat, a personal retreat. I have seen this very, very much. As a preacher, I have often been in situations where, you know, where I was asked to go, where I was in one party, preaching party, when the preaching was, and then I would go out of the car, and I would have to speak to a commune of many young people, many of them hippies. Or I would have to enter a rock and roll festival and go to the stage and give an address to everyone. And I felt sometimes so weak that I can't do it. I don't have the inner strength now. And when this happens, you need to take care of your spiritual health. It's really, you need to be a little selfish. And you enter into,
here is compassion on one side, and here is self-care.
Okay, compassion
here.
Here's compassion, here's self-care. So if you do too much on compassion, you get exhausted and you go down with your whole life. You come to the stage of compassion fatigue, you're exhausted, you're burned out. Then you must go up again by not going towards compassion, but to go to the extreme, self-care.
Give me a microphone. Where is that? Can you give me the flip chart? It's really good.
It will help you a lot with your dealings. It's good for Pandu Vasina. Okay? On the extreme end of the opposite of compassion, where you go out for to others, is self-care. Yes. Care. Okay? There's a dynamic relationship. Now, when you exaggerate this compassion, you go down. And you arrive at fatigue. If you exaggerate with self-care, you go down, and where do you arrive? Selfishness, egoism. Egoism. So we all exaggerate, especially Pandavasenas. The need when you come to fatigue is to go to the opposite of compassion, in the direction of self-care. Take some time off, expend the time.
Now, if you are doing so much self-care, the danger is you will become to selfishness, and then you need to go to compassion. This is core. This is one thing in the Vedic way, where we teach how it's called the square of self-development. This is what we called it. We somehow detected it. One of our research members found this, and we applied it to these Vedic or Dharmic concepts, compassion. We have many such. It's always when you go compared to the other extreme, too much self-care, you will go down, egoism. Too much compassion, fatigue. When you are in the fatigue area, you go just up, you can go up by going to the other extreme, self-care. When you are in the egoism thing, you go here to compassion. Very, very, very important thing. Can you understand? Yeah? Thank you so much. There's a lot of psychology behind it, but this works. You know, in the Vedic way, we try to make things simple, which work immediately, and not go too mental. But the self-development square is this. In relationship to compassion, there are many other qualities which you can go. You have to be, the idea is you have to be balanced or sattvic in your life. I don't know if I explained it very clearly, but ponder about it, you will figure it out. It's Krishna. This is.
Wow, we made it.
I know there are more questions. Mark the questions. We will have other question and answer sessions. I was very, very happy to be with you today. We will now have many things. Our Sian Gopal will give us an orientation. Yes, first Buddha Bhavana will round the session up, and then Sian Gopal will just briefly address us. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Okay, so this is a summary of the excellent introduction to the Dharma model by Maharaj. So Maharaj was making the point that actually we all have a unique purpose in life, we all have a unique Dharma, and that by coming to understand that, we can actually make our unique contribution, and we can also start to understand the corresponding activities. Maharaj excellently gave the example of within his own life that he was expected to take on more of a managerial role, and that it just wasn't fitting to him. And the idea is that as we start to understand our Dharma, which comes by living according to the four pillars of Dharma, which are truthfulness, compassion, inner and outer purity, and also, the last one is?
Discipline,
yes. But by living in that particular way, we start to have our Dharma unfold, and we can start to understand more about the Dharma. I thought there was an excellent past or story, rather, about the different animals who were in the different races or competition, and how within some circles they did very well, and others they completely failed. And I think it was a very powerful and excellent illustration of how important it is to be well situated within our own particular Dharma so we can move forward. And so within that, we started to do some exercises around those different four pillars of Dharma, and especially we did an exercise looking at how the mind and the mental state actually also affects us physically as well. And so Dr. Maharaj was emphasizing how by having the right mentality and by not allowing the inner negativities to kind of grow up within the consciousness, we can actually become stronger and the Dharma can start to unfold. So ultimately, the point was made that there is a roof to the Dharma, and that is the roof of Sanatana Dharma as well, which is the ultimate Dharma. And in the Q&A, Maharaj was emphasizing that sometimes where there seems to be a contradiction on one level, but by a higher understanding, these things are reconciled. So, in essence, we've begun our journey by understanding that we all have our unique contribution and unique place, and that by following according to the principles or laws of Dharma, the Dharma Codex, we'll start to really understand what our unique contribution can be, as opposed to some speculative self-help ideas, but we'll really start to have a real deeper, more spiritual insight on how we can position ourselves strongly in order to do more for ourselves and also for others.
Yes. The idea is the way will show itself when you start walking it. This is a very, very important principle. You can't think yourself into the Dharma. You must act dharmically and connect with what is dharmic, and then it brings you there. Your whole life changes. Really, you will find out. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Buddha Bhagavan. Yes, you are a good student.
Thank you much. Thank you, Buddha Bhagavan Guru. So now we have lunch from 1:30 to 3:30, and then it gets a bit complex. We have three optional seminars, and the option is not you can go to any seminar. The option is in the sense that you can go to seminar, you can go to sleep, you can chill out, whatever. So the three seminars are broken into different categories of people. So all the mentors will have a seminar with Buddha Bhagavan Guru in this room, the pink room. All the boys will have a seminar with Naveen Krishna Guru upstairs in Flint. Everyone knows Flint. We had Kyoto with Baba last year there. And the girls will have a seminar with Chitti Shakti Mataji in the blue room, i.e. the kids' room. Chitti Shakti Mataji seminar is becoming a spiritual warrior. Naveen Krishna Guru seminar is... I asked him yesterday, what are you going to speak on? He said, I'm just going to preach them.